Welcome to Age of Minority, a podcast for youth about the gospel. I'm your host, Jaquel, here with my co-host, pastor, and dad, Sean.
Hey, Jaquel.
Hi. Hi, dad.
Hey.
Okay, what is that? Was that supposed to be to the song, the music?
Oh, yeah. Just gets my blood pumping.
Every time. It just hits you in the feels.
How long is it going to take for it to go away?
I don't know. Well, how long did the other one go? Like a year? Year and a half?
Yeah, that was way... No!
No, 2 years. It was over 2 years.
We're like on episode 118.
118?
Yeah. 120?
This is 118.
That's pretty crazy.
Pretty cray cray.
Pretty crazy.
The children say.
We're in year three.
Yeah, we're in year three.
Year three.
This November will be 3 years.
Because there's 52 weeks in a year.
Correct.
That would make 104 weeks in 2 years.
Math skills.
Yep. 156 weeks in 3 years. Do you want me to keep going?
Nope.
Okay. What's going on, Jaquel?
Oh, not too much. The regular. A little bit of this, a little bit of
regular,
that.
Regular, you know, my amazing life.
Yeah, my amazing
just
life.
Just regular.
My glamorous, fabulous existence.
So Valentine's Day has passed.
It has.
You know, and I just wanted to, you know how much I love Valentine's Day.
I know you
Day.
Do.
I love it. I think it's the most amazing haul. I just can't you carry just... on this anymore. It's
scrolling
terrible.
Scrolling through Facebook is your favorite part.
Okay, just a minute. Oh my goodness, why did you say that?
Because I love to bait you.
Oh, you are the worst. Listen, young people.
Listen, young people. Person is talking now.
I want to prepare you for when you're an old married person, okay?
All right, this is going to be gold right here.
Listen, this is advice that you will want to pass down to your children and your children's children and your children's children's children, okay?
All right.
Listen, if you love your wife, go to her and tell her that. Don't put it on Facebook. All of Facebook does not need to know that you love your wife or your husband. That is something called virtue signaling. Look
but
at me. I love my husband or my wife. They
how
don't.
How great of a wife I am.
Just your wife needs to know. Go into the next room and tell her, I love you. Go into the next room and say, oh, husband, you're the greatest. Okay. I so appreciate you.
Oh, husband.
I don't understand this. Why does everybody have to go on Facebook and tell their wives or their husbands how much they... You know, here's what I think that you should do. If you're going to go on Facebook and talk about your spouse, talk about them as though you're talking to all of your friends on Facebook. Don't talk to them because that's why you're putting it there. Go out there and say, I just want everyone to know that I love my wife and she is amazing. I think I'd have less of a problem with that.
Yeah. All right. Well, good to know.
I have problems.
You do.
You know, I have problems. I'm not a big fan of Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
I have my reasons. The podcast world does not want to hear about them. But anyway, not everybody shares my views on
That's
Valentine's
very true.
Day.
You're very savage towards Valentine's Day.
Not many people share my views. You know what was so funny?
What was so funny?
I was out for coffee on Thursday morning with a good friend from the church, like I always am, almost always on Thursday morning. We're out having coffee, and I look, out the window, and there's Shoppers Drug Mart. Mm-hmm. That's like a CVS here. It's like a CVS here in the States, or what's that other place we love?
Walgreens,
yeah, CVS. Anyway,
drugstore.
And I think to myself, maybe you should go over there and get your wife something, you know. But I resisted.
You resisted temptation.
I resisted
Definitely
the temptation.
Would not have wanted to
I am
do that.
Not letting Hallmark or any other company out there determine when I tell my wife I love her. And I tell her and show her often.
And like we said, your anniversary is 2 weeks before Valentine's Day.
Don't make excuses for me. I hate Valentine's Day. That's all there
all
is to
right,
it.
Then.
But everybody else doesn't. And and you had your first Valentine's Day as a couple.
I did.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're getting into Valentine's. Like, should we talk about this whole thing about fathers giving Valentine's?
No,
that's just
so
weird. It is so weird.
Yeah.
I just don't get that. And I don't get why we have to be worried about... Well, okay, I guess I do understand why we want to be worried about single people who would like to have a mate on Valentine's Day because all this commercial holiday is making it even harder for them, which is another reason why we shouldn't have Valentine's Day.
This is just straight up turning
anyway,
into Sean's rant podcast.
Let's just back away. Anyway, so you had your first Valentine's Day. Okay, tell me about your first Valentine's Day.
Well, okay.
Sorry, not your first Valentine's Day. You are 21.
I have had 20 Valentine's Days.
But your first one is a couple.
Yes. So, Fun fact, too, I told you, last Valentine's Day, which was 2 months before we started dating, I wrote an article on 7 reasons why singleness is so great. It was not writing that article this year.
It really is.
So on Valentine's Day, Joe has a big test coming up. And so he needed to study for it on Valentine's Day. And so we weren't going to do anything until Friday night.
Oh, you are my daughter. You didn't want to do anything on Valentine's
Day. It was because of studying.
Oh, you did want
to. But he came over anyways in the afternoon and brought me a beautiful bouquet of roses.
Yeah, which I am disappointed. I was hoping it was going to be tulips.
Oh my goodness.
Really? Roses?
It's for the first Valentine's Day.
Roses is a terrible acronym. Tulip is way better.
But it's my middle name.
Anyway, okay,
so it's meaningful. So you got if you remember, my blog's original name was Jaquel's Rose Garden.
Sure, that was really lame. But anyway.
Oh my goodness. That's so mean.
They were very nice.
You just crushed 11-year-old Jaquel.
It was a very nice gift.
She's weeping right now in a corner.
They were lovely
in
flowers.
A corner.
And so you got these beautiful flowers.
Got the beautiful flowers. And then on Friday night, we went out for a really fun date. And we went to this super cool new restaurant called
The
Fourth Lock.
That's all I care about. I don't care about any of the other stuff. All I want to know about is the food. Tell me about the food.
It was right on a lake, but it was kind of dark, so we couldn't see.
The restaurant was on a lake?
Yeah.
Where is this?
Like a block away from Inn on the Lake.
Oh, I didn't.
So it's in Fall River. I thought I told you this.
No, you didn't tell me.
Be a house. You should look it up to see pictures because it's hard to describe it. It's a converted house.
Okay.
And the inside is it's just like a nice, cool hipster place.
Okay.
So I got the maple salmon.
With
fingerling potatoes. Very, very tasty.
Maple salmon. Sounds very Canadian.
But it was just like salmon with almost like a candy, like maple syrup glaze on the top. Mm. It was very tasty.
Did you say I'll have the maple salmon, eh?
No.
No?
Okay. Joe got the daily special, which was duck tacos.
What? Duck tacos?
I told you. It's a very hipster place.
I am intrigued.
They were very good.
Now, duck tacos?
I don't think I would have loved them because they had shaved beets on them.
Ooh.
But
that's going to be bad.
Joe said they just added like a fresh tang.
Oh, they weren't. Were they pickled beets?
No, they weren't pickled. They were fresh beets.
Okay, so there's duck. There's shaved beets.
Yeah, and then it's on like a savory crepe. And then there's like lime juice.
Wow.
And I think there might be something else on it, too. He really liked them.
That's fascinating. Duck. Duck is good.
But.
It's a bit of an oily meat, but it's good.
Our appetizer.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Pork belly brulee.
Pork belly brulee?
So, all that was.
What is brulee?
Okay, so. Creme brulee is like a custard that the top is torched. So there's like a sugar torched topping.
That's why I'm wondering, how can it be pork belly brulee?
So I'm pretty sure the brulee is like the torched sugar crust because there were these beautiful chunks of pork belly with like a sweet, crunchy, crispy topping that was...
I'm just so excited. I can taste it right now.
Yeah, it was delicious. And then they came with a blueberry mustard.
What?
Sounds really weird. I couldn't taste the mustard that much. It was homemade, and so it was more just like a blueberry compote.
Because you love mustard.
I loathe mustard.
She hates mustard and mayonnaise.
Yeah.
What is it with mustard and mayonnaise? Why? See,
I don't know.
Your
mom
and I are mayonnaise lovers. We love the mayonnaise.
Yeah.
We eat so much mayonnaise, and you hate the mayonnaise.
Yeah.
What happened to you, Jaquel?
It was my uncle, Alan. He doesn't like the mayonnaise.
Uncle Al doesn't like mayonnaise?
No.
What?
That's what Mom told me.
What?
I don't know.
What?
And if it's not true, then I grew up from being a small child believing this falsehood.
What?
Yeah.
You just blew my mind. Uncle Al doesn't like mayonnaise?
To my knowledge, no.
I am beyond disturbed.
So I come by it honestly.
This is new information for me after 27, 8... 19 to 27.
It's all right.
20, just a minute. It's 2019. After 27 years of marriage, I learned this deep, dark secret that Uncle Al has. That
anyways,
he doesn't like mayonnaise.
I have to tell you the weirdest part of us being at the Fourth Lock.
Oh, there's more. There's more.
So we had this really friendly waiter.
Sure.
And he was, he was chatting us up, told us we looked very nice. He was like.
Did you return the favor? You say, well, you look nice also.
Nope. And then when he gave us the bill, he's like, wow, you guys are very well behaved. He was was like, he had a very dry humor, like a dry sense of humor.
Well behaved.
So then after, Joe pays the bill and then he goes to the washroom before we leave. And so I'm just waiting there. Uh-oh. And I'm just sitting there.
This is going to get bad. Okay. No, I am intrigued, really man.
Okay. So I'm just sitting there waiting and the waiter comes back over and I assume he's going to take the water glasses or something.
Sure.
But no, he comes over to talk to me. And no. And then he's like, all he says is, that seems like a real nice fella you got there. I was so weirded out. I was just like, I didn't know what to say. I was just like, yeah, he is. And then the waiter just laughed.
You should have been like, well, I'm glad you approved. That's why I came tonight.
So then we walked out and I was like to Joe, I was like, how big of a tip did you give him? And he was like, I mean, just like a good tip, but yeah, not, it's not like I gave him like a 60%
tip. Wow. Seems like a
it was weird. It was weird. Our waiter had a man crush on Joe and I don't know why.
Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah.
You should have been like, well, I appreciate that. Now we can get married.
Yeah. Your approval means the world to me.
That's why.
Would you
here.
Like to come to our wedding?
Wow. That.
Yeah. So all in all, it was a great date.
That is crazy.
Then we went and got cake.
Wow. And then you went and got cake.
Yep. Carrot cake, cheesecake.
Cake.
And tuxedo mousse cake.
Wow. Well, listen, we got to get to the topic.
We do.
I mean, I have this fear that if we keep talking about our lives, we're never going to get to the topic at hand.
That's a common fear. I think a lot of our listeners might share that same fear.
I am worried that this episode could go on and on and on. And
oh, I'm worried too.
I mean, I'm anxious. I have this anxiety about how maybe nobody will ever listen to our podcast again if we don't actually get to the topic. So what is it?
You know, not as good as last week. Not as good as last week.
I don't know what's better when we overemphasize the dorky transition or when we just have a terrible transition.
I don't know. Both are pretty awful.
They're both fun.
So today we are talking about fear.
We're into the emotions.
We are. So last week we talked about kind of like emotions generally. Are emotions good or bad? How should we think about them? And for the next really month, we're going to start talking about some different specific emotions and how to use them to honor God and how to think about them.
Because emotions are good.
They are.
They're given to us by God. And so we can use our emotions in a negative way and a positive way. And so we're talking about like fear. And that will include worry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because worry is basically fear, because why are you worried about something? Well,
yeah.
You fear how an outcome will, what the outcome of a situation will be. So you worry about it. Or anxiety is that, again, you're worried about how a situation is going to play out or what could happen. And so mm-hmm. you get anxious. So we're talking about fear and anxiety and worry. I think this is probably one of the most I don't want to say the most important emotions to talk about, but for young people, this is a pretty significant emotion to deal with.
Yeah, and it's confusing because especially when we look to the Bible, we have seemingly contradictory commands. We have commands to not fear, and then in some places, as we'll see, we have commands to fear. And sometimes it's hard to understand if fear is an emotion that was given to us by God. When is it good and when is it bad?
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, so the first thing that we need to recognize there, based on just what you said there, is that there are times when fear is good.
Yeah.
And we learn this from a very young age. Like God has fashioned this world in such a way that we should have fear about some things.
Yeah.
So you think about the nerve endings on your hands. Mm-hmm. Like, so the first time you touch that burner and you realize it's hot, you very quickly understand you shouldn't touch that again.
Yeah.
Or
the fight and flight instinct you have, that it's like, if there is danger, your natural, like just biological fear kicks in and you flee the danger.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is something that God has given to us. There's certain situations that we are supposed to fear. There's this place right near where Jekyll and I live.
Jekyll.
It's funny how I said that. Jekyll.
That was very weird.
There's this place where we near where we live. It's one of my favorite places in the world.
I know.
Yeah, you know. Don't laugh at my favorite place in the world. How dare you laugh at my favorite place?
I'm not laughing at your favorite place.
You're laughing at me? Okay, yeah. Good. We got that clear. Anyway, this place is called Peggy's Cove. Anybody who comes to Nova Scotia has to go to Peggy's Cove. Peggy's Cove.
Do
I'm emphasizing the P because we got a pop filter, so I can do it. Peggy's Cove. See, now, Jekyll, now I want to move the pop filter.
Nope. Stop adjusting your mic.
It's just so fun.
No.
I love to move the pop filter and then do
Let's bring this crazy train back on the rails. The crazy Peggy's train. Cove.
Okay, Peggy's Cove. Yeah, people go there. It's
people,
great.
People go
it's
there.
Wonderful. No,
it's
anyway, there's this great place. It's a big, big rock, massive rock, and this lighthouse. I don't really care much about the lighthouse.
The story is taking so long.
Hey. Just let me tell my story,
It's
okay?
a short story.
No, it's a long story. I want to describe all of the rocks.
This is story time with Sean.
We used to take Jaquel and Travis there, and Travis would love running on the rocks and jumping from rock to rock, and it was a lovely time. Sometimes your mom and I would go, we'd take a thermos
of
walk
coffee. Down memory lane?
It's a wonderful place to get breakfast.
It is. Yeah, man, I might go on Monday.
What?
Yeah.
What? You guys are going to Peggy's Cove for breakfast. How come you don't invite me?
Do you want a third wheel on a date with us?
I really don't. But man, that breakfast. Anyway, the whole point is that it's surrounded by water. There's these signs, I think they're brass and they're attached to the rocks.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, I don't even remember exactly what they say, but it's like, oh, stay off the black rocks.
Yeah, it's just like warning, caution.
Yeah, stay off the black rocks because water's gotten up there and these huge waves come up and people have got swept in and died.
Yeah.
And every time you go there, you see people climbing on the black rocks.
Yes.
And it's like, those people are dumb.
Because they do not have a healthy fear of what could happen.
Getting swept away into the waves and dying.
Exactly. We should have a healthy fear of that.
Yeah. So I mean, there is good fear. There's also bad fear.
Yes.
And primarily, the bad fear is fear of circumstances. Mm-hmm. And this is where we get into anxiety, where we're worried about what is going to happen and what might happen. Now, as we said, there's circumstances that we should fear. You know, mm-hmm. you don't want to go, you don't want to have a circumstance where you have to travel by foot down a very dangerous part of town late at night or something like that.
Yeah.
But we're talking about situations where you don't know exactly what's going to happen. This is probably the primary thing.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, you worry about certain things that might happen or that could happen, or you know, you get anxious about some situation that you don't feel especially comfortable about.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be a really bad thing.
Yeah.
And the reason that it can be a bad thing, this is it, like, so again, fear of certain circumstances can be good, but in general, oftentimes it's bad because we're not keeping in mind the providence of God. So really at the heart of our problem is that we're not trusting in God to work things out for our good. And mm-hmm. the Bible promises that God will work things out for the good of those who love him. And it doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. He definitely puts us in very difficult situations, but we shouldn't fear such situations. We should embrace such situations and trust in God through them because God cares for us.
Yeah, exactly. And Jesus, and this is where we get into like a command where Jesus specifically says to not fear. So, for example, in Matthew 10, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, "Have no fear." And he says, "Don't fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows."
That's a great, a wonderful passage. You know, Jesus is pointing to a sparrow, and he's saying, if I care for that sparrow, how much more do I care about you? And I think earlier in that passage, he talks about not worrying about what you're going to eat
mm-hmm.
or where you're going to get clothing. I mean, the point is that we don't have to fear certain circumstances when we realize that God is in control of all things and working things out for our good. This is what we refer to as the providence of God, that God governs all his creatures and all their actions.
Yeah, because when we do fear about those circumstances, when we do worry about them, it shows a lack of trust in God.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, if we have a circumstance that is going to be a difficult circumstance, we want to be as prepared as we can for that circumstance, mm-hmm. But we don't want to have fear over it. Instead, we want to trust in God through it. This is really what the opposite of fearing a circumstance that we shouldn't fear, or the opposite of anxiety, the opposite of worry is mm-hmm. trusting in God. And if we can really press into the issue of providence, have we done an episode on providence?
I think so.
I don't know. Anyway.
I think so.
If we can really press into the providence of God, that he is in control of all things, watching over all things, governing all things, working things together for our good, then that will really help us with the fear of circumstances. There's also fear of man.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when it comes to fearing men... or people, we should say.
Yes, it would... I fear women.
Do you? I do. I really...
I fear women more than I fear men.
Yeah? Really?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me more about that.
I don't know. Well, Mom and I have talked about before that there's some sort of like, we have more sympathy or more grace for the opposite gender than for our own gender, because we understand our own gender and we understand kind of like how they think, and we hold them to a higher standard.
Well, there's also the issue that men and women deal with situations very differently.
True.
They deal with conflict very differently.
True.
So there are things to consider there. But when it comes to fear of people, the issue here is that we're seeking the approval of people in those circumstances, mm-hmm. not the approval of God. And there's no question that we ought not to fear man. That just came up in that passage you just read. We should fear God, which kind of brings us to the whole issue of the fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, when it comes to fear, to rightly understand fear, we've got to rightly understand fear of God, because that is the that's good fear.
Right.
That's fear that we should experience, that we should pursue. So I guess we're going to have to talk about what it means to fear God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the opposite of fearing man, and that passage also talks about circumstances, is fearing God, then the solution to our fears, our negative fears, is to truly grasp what it means to fear God, and then to do that.
Yeah, and this is another term that I think is a little bit confusing in Christian circles specifically, because I remember hearing that, oh, fear of God isn't actually fear. Fear isn't fear. It's just respect. It's just reverence.
I know.
Then why is the language of fear constantly used?
I know.
And so, yeah, I think we need to nail down that, as you are so fond of saying, that fear is fear.
Is fear. But there are some distinctions, and one primary distinction to be made.
Right.
This is the most important distinction when it comes to, you know, this statement that fear is actually fear. But it's important we realize that the fear of God is not a servile fear. It's mm-hmm. not this fear of a servant for his harsh master.
Right.
It's the fear of a son fearing his loving father.
Yeah.
That's very different, but it is still fear.
Yeah.
But it's not the fear of a servant for his harsh master. It's the fear of a son for his loving father. That's the key distinction, mm-hmm. I think. So then what does that fear look like?
So I think the first aspect of it, to fear God, means that we seek to please him. So a very famous verse related to fearing God is Proverbs 1, verse 7, and it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." So I think fearing God, and this is where it connects to like a son and a father relationship, that the son wants to please his father. And so, you know, one way that we fear God is seeking to obey his commands.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Another way would be to be concerned about your relationship with him, to see that your relationship with God has got to be the primary, the foundational, the central, the most important relationship in your life. In Proverbs 9, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight," right? Focusing on that knowledge of the Holy One, to know God. I'm preparing to preach on Hebrews 8 tomorrow, and it talks about, in the new covenant, you will not have to teach your brother or sister, saying, "Know ye the Lord," because they will all know the Lord. Mm. So it's pointing to this saving relationship that we have with him. And to fear God is to see your relationship with him as the most important relationship, the relationship that dictates or that instructs or that is the foundation for every other relationship that you have.
Yeah. And then I think also to fear God is to find your security and confidence in him and living for him. And so this is what I think is cool.
Yeah.
Like, one way to fear God means to reject sinful fear.
Yeah.
So in Proverbs 28:1, it says, "The wicked flees when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion."
Yeah.
So living actually courageously because your confidence is in God is a way that you are fearing the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, who is our perfect example?
Jesus.
Other than Jesus. I mean, he you just think about those three things we just mentioned. He always pleased his Heavenly Father. Yeah. That was his life's mission. He never for a second didn't please his Heavenly Father. Second, his relationship with the Father was primary, was foundational, was central. Mm-hmm. And third of all, his life was all about living for for God and God's purposes.
Yeah. I stumbled across this article that I really liked called Was Jesus Ever Afraid?
Oh, okay.
By Eric Raymond. And he basically talked about it in the context of sinful fear.
Right.
And when we look at other emotions, as we'll talk about, like anger and sorrow and joy, we get very clear like stories, instances where Jesus experienced those. But of course, because Jesus never sinned, we never see him experiencing sinful fear.
Right.
And Eric Raymond asks why, and he says it's simple dependence. Christ himself being God expressed and demonstrated the model for humanity in his complete confidence, trust, and dependence in God, specifically the sovereignty and goodness of God. And I think that that is what we need to rest in if we want to fear God and live fearlessly towards man and our circumstances.
Well, I mean, I actually like the next, I think the next line really sums up. He says, Jesus knew and lived like he believed that God is sovereign over everything. There is nothing that surprises or unsettles God. Mm. That's, I mean, I mentioned the providence of God, the sovereignty of God, his rule over everything, that he is working everything out. I mean, I think that if we can grasp the sovereignty of God, that will not, that will spur us on towards fear of God.
Yeah.
And it will also guard us against sinful fear.
Yeah. Because, and that's something that it's not just an empty platitude. It's really the only thing that should give us comfort, you know, especially in light of eternity, that this life is short. And so really, why would we fear people or circumstances?
Yeah. And the only thing I would add is just, you know, even just as I made that statement, it's not only that God is sovereign, but it's also that God is good.
Yeah.
Right. And I referenced, you know, Romans chapter 8, where God works all things out for good. And that's the issue there. It's not just that God is sovereign. A lot of people believe that God is sovereign, but they have a hard time grasping his goodness. And so when a situation is difficult, when we're in a situation we don't necessarily like, we need to keep our eyes on God, knowing that he is sovereign and that he's good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the fact of the matter is that there are difficult things in life. Like I think about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul is talking about all of the dangers that he has faced.
Yeah.
And he boasts in these things. I mean, we're not for a second saying that there's not difficult situations that you shouldn't be concerned about and be thinking through. But in all of those situations, in all of those circumstances, dealing with all the difficult kinds of people and things that we deal with, we should be seeking to fear God in all of those things.
Amen.
So fear. Fear. I mean, that was just a whirlwind.
Yeah.
A whirlwind tour of the issue of fear and anxiety. There's more that could be said. I mean, a lot of people deal with deep-seated anxiety. It's something they wrestle with day by day and constant fears.
Yeah, fear of people. I'm getting ready to read When People Are Big and God is Small by Ed Welch.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've read that.
I think so.
It was quite a number of years ago. But anyway, you know, I don't want people to think that this is just so cut and dry of a thing, because people really do struggle with anxiety and fears. And so there are lots of things out there to read on the subject. There's so much more scripture that addresses this whole situation. But hopefully this has got people thinking about it. And I think especially our goal is for young people to think rightly about fear.
Yeah.
So hopefully this has been helpful. Where can people find us?
They can find us on that internet.
If they want to send us nasty messages about how they love Valentine's Day.
HMU, that means HMU, hit me up. HUU, hit us up on our website, ageofminority.com. Or Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, we're all there all the time. And you can even, if you want to give Sean a special Valentine's Day gift, head over to iTunes and give him an honest 5-star rating and review and tell him how much you love Valentine's Day, mayonnaise, pork belly, any of the things. We would love to hear from you.
All right, until next Valentine's Day, Jaquel.
This has been Age of Minority.